Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I am chatting with Ed Moya. He is the senior market analyst over at Oanda. Ed and I chat every Monday, and Ed, I appreciate you taking some time on this holiday Monday in the U.S., but I'm seeing more and more from a lot of the people that I'm talking to, not a whole lot of people are taking this holiday. And actually, when it comes to the markets, there's a lot of stuff for us to talk about in the U.S. and also in Europe. Ed and I are going to focus a lot on currencies here, starting off with recent comments made by Janet Yellen. And Yellen has made it clear, recently came out and confirmed that she's not seeking a weak U.S. dollar. That being said, it also doesn't sound like the government or even the Fed is going to stand in the way of a weaker U.S. dollar. But Ed, how important is it to hear Janet Yellen's comments when it comes to the dollar?
And thanks for having me on, Corey. I think it's pretty important. I think there was a lot of investors that were a little bit unsure whether or not the Treasury Secretary nominee is going to affirm that policy. And I think it really shows that for investors, you're going to pretty much see that this means that the government is not really going to get in the way of this ongoing market-driven dollar depreciation trade. I think that you're probably going to see that a lot of investors, they're going to continually focus on, okay, well, what's driven that? And it's all the government debt that, you know, the U.S. government has started to have. And I think in the past 4 years, we've seen that grow by another $7 trillion. And I think that you're probably going to see that's going to be a big driver on these, you know, macro bets that the dollar is going to have a tough time because of all this loose money flowing into the system. I think everyone remembers Yellen as the former Fed chair, and she is likely to work very well with the Fed. I think under the Trump administration, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, throughout the pandemic, really, it was a strong relationship where I think the Fed and the Treasury worked nicely in providing, you know, immediate action, swift and strong reaction to this pandemic. And then it was towards the end when Mnuchin started to pull some programs and we started to see a little bit of a divide. The Fed was kind of disagreeing. And I think that, we're not done with this virus. I think that, you know, even though we have these vaccines in place, there's still a lot of damage that's happening into the economy. There's long-term scarring in the labor market. And I think that Yellen is likely to, provide a much more, a dovish stance than what we were getting out of Mnuchin towards his last few months, or last couple months. And right now, what you're probably going to see is, I think that investors are going to know that, okay, it's going to be a hands-off approach to the dollar. And with that, once the global economic recovery is fully working across Europe and Asia, it means it's going to be a very tough time for the U.S. dollar.
So, Ed, look, the fact of the matter is Yellen has always been a dove, and Powell, Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, he has also been very dovish, especially in, let's say, the last year in some of his comments. So, overall, we can all assume and expect a lot more money printing in the U.S., but how does that relate to Europe? Because Europe, when you actually look at the dollar index, the euro is very heavily weighted in that index. So does that mean that it's a clear path for the euro higher? To me, that's a tough argument simply because Europe is also struggling with the virus and with a lot of political issues.
Very much so. And I think right now, when we take a look across the globe, you know, what are the advanced economies that are struggling the most with the virus? I think, you know, Europe's right now kind of at the top of the list. I think you see the enhanced lockdowns from France and Germany are definitely weighing on the outlook. And every day, you're getting different signs of persistent COVID headaches. Portugal limiting their travel on weekends. There's I think a lot of expectations that you're still seeing this virus. Yes, peak cases appear to have peaked, but still a lingering concern. And with the UK virus mutation, I think you're going to see a lot more caution exercise. Those lockdowns are likely to be a lot more, I think, long last. And that's the theme that we're seeing. The Czech Republic, you know, kind of hinting that there's no imminent easing of these restrictions. I think all across the continent, they're just not getting really positive vaccine news. I mean, you're grasping at straws, whether it's the UK finally getting 4 million vaccinated or just some key thresholds seeing some improvement. But there's still a very downbeat assessment as far as how everything is unfolding in Europe. And then when you take a look at what are, some of the risks right now, I mean, we have Italian politics right now kind of lost in the back pages, but I think there's still, and I think and one of the reasons why the risk of snap elections in Italy, it seems like that's slowly getting alleviated. Italian premier, he did win a confidence vote today, actually just moments ago in the lower house, and I think there's still optimism that they're going to be able to form government. And if we did have that snap out election that looks at outcome, I think that would be a very, very negative for Italian assets. And I think the southern periphery is what's really, I think, weighing on a lot of people's minds. And when we take a look at as far as how we've seen such a strong move high in treasury yields and yields across the board, for Europe, we still have Italian and Greek yields be much higher than their regional peers, and I think what you're probably going to start to see is that a lot of people are looking at possibly that the southern periphery be is the potential big risk for the markets. Their bank debt is a big concern, and I think that they're kind of a little bit vulnerable right now to a sell off. And this is one of the stories that we never anticipate. Greek being the domino that brings back all the big fears for Europe, but it is a growing risk. And as you have all these different risks across the board, I think that's going to start to weigh on the outlook. And it seems like right now, as far as the positioning goes, the dollar has been extremely bet against. And I think we've seen all the recent data has been very, very bearish for the dollar as far as trajectories of when we're going to see or how much stimulus is going to get pumped into the economy, how many different waves of stimulus is Biden going to be able to impose onto the markets. And what we're probably going to see is that I think you're going to have that investors are still heavily crowding this trade. A lot of people are now looking for protection in the options market, which is possibly pricing in a significant dollar rebound in the short term. So I think that as we get overcrowding, these hedge funds are having their bearish dollar bets at the highest level in 3 years. So I think you're going to see that it's going to be tough for the dollar to weaken right now. And the outlook is looking very, very difficult in the Europe. So what does that mean? Well, we've seen the euro dollar pair significantly rally, throughout the pandemic. It seemed like we were at 105 and we went all the way to 123.50. So I think there are growing risks that you could see there be a strong argument that you could see that 120 level potentially be tested and denied. And if 120 tentatively gives, you know, that's when you typically, if you have a big squeeze, you could have, you know, there'd be a few more hundred pips after that.
So then, Ed, when it comes to some sloppy dollar trading, it sounds like, and quite frankly, the dollar is going through a little bit of a bounce from a low it put in earlier this year on the dollar index of just above 89. The dollar is now right around, well, it's right in between 90 and 91. So again, not even that huge of a bounce. But what kind of impacts do you think a higher dollar has, if that does actually happen, even if it's just in the short term, on the markets or even on this run that we've had broadly in commodities? Do you think it puts a damper on that?
I think that right now, the outlook for commodities, I think, is very bullish. And I think, you know, a little pullback here is what the rally needs. I think that the dollar positioning is probably going to be a good catalyst for a little pullback here for commodities. But I think in the end, it's hard to argue, I think, against the economic recovery. I think there's, despite all the short-term headwinds that we're seeing with this new mutation of the virus and these enhanced lockdowns, I think that still the belief is the second half of the year is strong. You're going to see more infrastructure spending. I think central banks across the world are going to remain a little bit more accommodative in the first quarter of this year, and that's going to be, I think, extremely positive for these commodity assets, and I think right now that's kind of where we're seeing how the reaction might be. So I think short term weakness, but in the end, I think commodities are going to have a lots of flashing green lights, I think, in the second half of the year.
Now, are there any other currencies outside of the U.S. dollar and the euro that you think everyone should be paying attention to, just to judge kind of money flows and if maybe one country is starting to outperform everybody else?
I think one of the interesting ones for me, and when you take a look at the Canadian dollar, I think that you've seen there was a you know, a strong correlation with oil prices. And I think that you've had a steady move with a stronger loonie because of the rebound in oil prices. And when we take a look at some of the you know, the first stories we're going to be getting from the Biden administration, I think that the markets, you know, and we really haven't seen that big of a reaction, but I think the whole expectations that we're going to see Biden, you know, one of his first executive orders kind of target that zero carbon emissions and really kind of, you know, bursting the bubble of hopes for that Keystone pipeline. I think that that's going to be something that's a very short term negative sore catalyst there for the Canadian economy. And I think right now what you're probably going to see is that you're going to see that a lot of people were kind of targeting that, okay, well, the move in the loonie kind of got out of control because of the amazing rebound we've saw in oil prices. And I think that for the dollar CAD pair, you're probably seeing that but you could have easily make that argument that we could see 130 on dollar CAD. So right now it's closer to 127.50. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of short-term risks, I think, here on Canada. And I think oil prices have kind of run their course. And you're likely to see, I think, the crude trade be more of a consolidation one. So I think there's going to be an interesting move here for the loonie in the next few weeks.
All right, Ed, we'll wrap it up there. Again, thanks for taking time on this Martin Luther King Jr. Day and focusing on the currency markets. Currency markets have, well, been very interesting recently. And the dollar, if it does continue to sell off, let's see how that corresponds to other sectors, especially commodities. Ed, thanks for your time, man. I will post a link to the Oanda website where everyone can read over your daily note. Have a great rest of your week there, Ed.
Thank you. You too.